All right, let's look in Romans chapter 5. Now, I'm going to tell you what I want you to get from this in the first sentence. So if you can get this, this is the message. The trust and the confidence of the believer's heart. The trust and the confidence that our salvation is absolutely secure is because of what Christ has done for us by His death and because of what Christ continues to do for us by His life. It's because of what He's done for us by His death and what He continues to do for us by His life. Let's read Romans 5, verse 6. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die. You might find somebody that would die for a righteous man. Yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth His love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by His blood, we shall be saved from wrath through Him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of His Son. If when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of His Son. Much more then, being reconciled, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by His life. Now, the title of the message is Enemies Reconciled and Friends Saved. And I want you to see three things here. First of all, what every believer was, what we were. Secondly, what God did for us when we were in that condition. And then thirdly, what shall happen to us now. All right, first of all, what were we? You sitting here that's born of the Spirit of God, what were we? What were we? Verse 6 tells us, we were yet without strength. I want to show you Ephesians 2. Go to Ephesians 2. Hold your place here. I want to show you what it is to be without strength. Ephesians 2, verse 12. Ephesians 2, 12. At that time, you were without Christ. That's what it is to be without strength. You were without Christ. You were aliens from the commonwealth of Israel. You were without the common riches of fellow believers. And strangers from the covenants of promise. You were without the covenants of God's promise. You didn't know about that covenant of works that God gave, whereby He said, if you can do this, you can live. You didn't know what that meant. And you didn't know anything at all about the covenant of grace. You had no idea what those covenants meant at all. You were without those. Having no hope, absolutely without a hope, and without God in the world. That's what we were, without strength. All right, go back to our text. Then here's the next thing we were. Verse 6 says, when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. We were ungodly. We were the un of everything God is. God is holy, we were unholy. God is just, we were unjust. God is righteous, we were unrighteous. God is altogether lovely, we were altogether unlovely. We're the un of everything God is, ungodly. Verse 8 tells us that God commended His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, not righteous, not even good, while we were yet sinners. Now, that means we were only sin, and we loved to think and do and speak only sin. In other words, we were everything God hates. We were sin. And we loved to think and do and say everything God hates, which is sin. That's what we loved. That's where our heart was. What else were we? Verse 9 says, God commendeth His love toward us in that... verse 9, much more than verse 10. When we were enemies. When we were enemies. That's what we were. We were enemies. We were not only without strength. We were not only the un of everything God is. We were not only delighting in sin to do sin, because we were sin, everything God hates, but we were thoroughly against God. Absolutely against God. Enemies in our minds by wicked works. That's what we were. Just like we saw Cain hated his brother because God testified that Abel was righteous and Cain was not. Anytime we heard the gospel, and this is so, it doesn't matter how long a man's been in religion, anytime we heard the gospel, we hated God because God's righteous and we weren't. Anytime that we heard that God makes His people the righteousness of Christ, that He made Christ made up His people the righteousness of God in Him, we hated His saints because they were made the righteousness of God in Christ, and our works were wicked. All our works were wicked. The works that we would admit were wicked, they were wicked. And the works that we thought was righteous and committed us to God, they were wicked. All our works were wicked. We were enemies against God. We hated God, and we hated God's people. Somebody will say, well, I never have been that way. You might think you weren't because you see yourself as moral, or you see yourself as not being rebellious or being nice to folks, but your heart has deceived you. Because unbelief and self-righteousness is made a liar of you. Because the fact of the matter is, we may think we've never been God's enemy because we were just not against Christ, not outwardly rebellious and kicking and screaming, you know, make it so obvious that we're against Christ. But the Lord said this. He said, he that is not with me is against me. And He said, he that gathereth not with me scattereth abroad. You could be in the finest building with the finest people, with the finest robes, or without the finest robes. You could be wherever you are and be claiming to worship God. If we're not with Christ, we're scattering. We're destroying. We're wreaking havoc. J.C. Philpott said, neutrality in this warfare is enmity. Not to be on Christ's side is to be against Christ. Not to be separate from God's enemies is to be God's enemy. Not to love Him is to hate Him. Not to be His is to be Satan's. We were enemies against God. This God said the carnal mind's enmity against God. And that's God knows the heart. He knows the heart, and He knows what He says about the carnal, unregenerate heart. That's what it was. No love for God, no love for godliness, no love for heaven, no love for holiness. No love for truth, no love for the saints of God, only enmity and rebellion and pride and self-righteousness. The carnal heart hates what God loves and loves what God hates. That's where we were. That's exactly where we were. Now, be sure we get this. There's no way a sinner can be a friend of God. There's no way a sinner can be reconciled to God until, in some degree, we learn something about where we were and what we are by nature. It just can't happen. Until then, we won't have any need for reconciliation. Until then, we won't even value the way God brings about reconciliation. Until then, we don't even know the power and wisdom of God that works this reconciliation in the heart. All right, that's where we were. All right, here's the second thing to see about this. Yet, what did God do for us? You sitting here right now that believe God, what did God do for us when we were yet sinners and enemies against Him? Well, verse 6 says, when we were yet sinners, He died for us. Verse 6, when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. This is what we were, and Christ died for us. All right, look at this. He says, when we were yet sinners, God proved to us that His love toward us is beyond change of any kind. How do you know that? Verse 8. God commendeth His love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. You see, the love of God in Christ for each individual beloved child that He put in Christ, it passes knowledge. It's so high and deep and wide and broad, this love of God in Christ is. Not even our deplorable condition could alter the love of God for us. It couldn't change it. He loved us when we were polluted in our own blood. He loved us when none eye pitied us and we didn't even pity ourselves. He loved us when we were wrapped up tight in the arms of rebellion against God. He loved us in Christ. How does that so? How? Because before we sinned in Adam, He put us in Christ. He loved us and put us in Christ before we ever sinned in Adam. And Christ promised to lay down His life and bring us to God. And from then on, God has loved us in Christ. Always. God loved us with everlasting love. That's what the Scripture said. God doesn't love His children because Christ died for us. That's not why He loves us. He doesn't love us because we believe on Him. That's not why God loves us. It was because God loved us. He loved us that He gave us to His Son. It was His love that gave us to His Son. It was His love that sent forth His Son. It was His love that it says here that God commendeth His love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ came and died for us. You think of the amazement of that love, that He suffered so for us who considered Him our enemy. Do you love your enemies? I guarantee you, everybody that's ever heard me preach loves me. They love me. Every one of them. You think that's so? And probably leave here boasting about their love. Boasting about their love. Do you love your enemies? I'm talking about love those that rear back and punch you in your nose. Rear back and spit in your face. Force blood out of your body. I'm talking about love. Love, perfectly love them. That's what he laid down His life for the ungodly. You know, we don't realize, we don't have any idea how horrible our sin is. We go off in our little, we just don't know. We don't know. It was because He loved us that He gave us faith to believe His Son. It's so that, in this love, it's the envy of devils. It is. It's the envy of devils. And angels are amazed at it. Are we amazed at this love? This is amazing. He commendeth. He proved His love to us. When He says, I have loved you with an everlasting love, do you see how everlasting it is? Nothing can change it. Nothing can turn it back. Nothing can. It's sovereign, unchanging, unchangeable love. What did He do for us when we were yet sinners? He justified us. Look at verse 10. When we were enemies, verse 9, much more then being now justified by His blood. That's what He did when He died for us. That's what He did when He died for us. He justified us by His blood. That's what happened when He died. To be justified is to be pardoned of all sin, is to have all your sin answered for under the justice of God, and is to be made perfectly righteous before God. And all of that's done through the blood of Jesus Christ. This is our acceptance with God. It's not our works. It's not our faith. It's not our obedience performed by us after faith is given. None of that's our acceptance with God. Our acceptance with God is we're accepted by what Christ has done for us when He shed His blood. He justified us. He made us just when He laid down His life in answer to the penalty of sin. You see, it's Peter told us it's through the righteousness of God that faith was given to us. You understand that? The very first sinner in the garden was given faith. Adam was given faith in the garden. You know how that faith was? Why that faith was given to him? It was through the righteousness of God. The righteousness of God the Father had already entered covenant with the Son, and He said that they were just in His Son. You mean even before Christ shed His blood? Yeah. They were given faith. Abraham was given faith through the righteousness of God. Every sinner after Christ died is given faith through the righteousness of God. He's right. He speaks only that which is right. And he's going to give faith because it's righteous and only righteous for Him to give faith to every one of those for whom Christ died. And through that faith, when we lay hold of Christ, that righteousness that our Lord is imputed to us by. So that faith has no reason to boast. Faith, boasting is excluded by faith. Any faith that boasts is not faith. Any faith that boasts in man don't know who God is or what God has done. Because when we have faith, we see, I got this through the righteousness of God, and it's God's own righteousness that I'm robed in and clothed in. So that that's what faith is laying hold of. It's everything God's done for us. What did He do when we were enemies? God reconciled us to Himself by the death of His Son. Look at verse 10. He says, if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of His Son. When we were enemies, I couldn't be reconciled to Him if I hadn't been justified. Michelle, my sin's got to be put away and answered for before God's going to have me reconciled to Himself. He's not going to receive me if I'm not justified. When did that happen? We were enemies. We were reconciled to God by the death of His Son. Sin had caused the breach. The breach of His law had caused, and He reconciled His justice on one side, and He reconciled His mercy on the other together, so they kissed each other. And in what He did with Christ, He reconciled every one of His elect unto Himself. While we were yet enemies to Him. It had already happened. And therefore, by the death of His Son, when full satisfaction was made, when sin was atoned for, when sin was put away, when it was blotted out, when it was cast behind God's back, reconciliation was done. I want to make sure you understand this. How could He do that with Abraham when as yet Christ hadn't even come and died? Because all this was already done from the foundation of the world. It was already done because Christ was His surety. That didn't mean in case Abraham couldn't live up to his end of some deal that Christ would pay the rest. It meant from the beginning Christ said, it's done, I'm paying it. It's all done. And God knows the end from the beginning. It's done with God. He came forth and did it then. We know it from this side of the cross. Abraham knew it from that side of the cross. Same thing. It was done when he said it's finished. That's when it was actually done in time. But all right, so that's what he did for while we were still enemies, while we were these ungodly wretches, everything God's not, and just hating God. That's what he did for us. Now then, what shall happen to us now that God did this for us through the death of His Son? Now get this phrase in verse 9. Much more. Much more then. Much more then. Being now justified by His blood, we shall be saved from wrath through Him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of His Son, if He did all that for us when we were enemies, much more. Now that we're reconciled to God, we're going to be saved by His life. Not His death, His life. His life. We saw last week that He's raised again for our justification. And one aspect of that means God gave the reins to Christ to grant repentance and forgiveness of sins to Israel. And he's working everything. He has been doing that from the beginning. We've seen that before. He's been the high priest from the beginning. He's been the king from the beginning. He's been working this from the beginning. And it's all given to Him. It says we'll be saved from wrath through Him. Now you understand all this is done while we're still enemies. All this is done while we're still dead. All this is done while we don't even know who He is. Much more then, being now reconciled, we'll be saved from wrath through Him. What does that mean? Look at Ephesians chapter 2. Look at verse 3. Ephesians 2, verse 3. Among whom also, you know the verse. Verse 1 says, we were dead in trespasses and sins. In time past, you walked according to the course of this world, the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind. And look at this. We were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But we've been justified already. We've been reconciled to God already. And Christ is risen. And now by His life, you know what we're going to be saved from? Wrath. And so you know what He did? Verse 4, but God, who is rich in mercy, for His great love wherewith He loved us, even when we were dead in sins, He quickened us together with Christ. You see, the gospel don't just go out helter-skelter and say, well, let's just hope it lands on somebody. With us, it goes that way because we don't know who the elect of God are. But it don't go that way with God. God's sending it. He said He sends the raindrop. Just one raindrop falls out there. It falls exactly where He sent it to fall and did exactly what He sent it to accomplish. And He said, my words, just like that rain that comes down, it don't return void. It goes right where He's going to have it to go and accomplishes exactly what He's going to have it to accomplish. He said, it's going out of my mouth in righteousness, and it won't return to me void. It's going to accomplish the thing whereunto I sent it. Look back at Romans 8, verse 1. You see, we had to be brought into the understanding of all this and be given the faith to enter into what all He had done for us, didn't we? How did that happen? You see, it's not only that Christ receives all the glory for our justification and for our reconciliation. That all was done before we ever knew anything about it. But Christ also receives the glory for our salvation, for us being brought into the understanding of what He has done. Salvation here means salvation in addition to justification and reconciliation. It includes the blessings that God freely gives us by His grace because of what Christ has done for us. We got justification, reconciliation, and salvation all listed here. So by His life, He sends the gospel right to us. He sends forth the Holy Spirit to make us alive. He plants the truth of the Word in our hearts. He gives us faith to believe on Christ. And therefore, through faith in Christ, we believe. And we know now we have been saved from wrath, and we will be. Look at verse 1. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. That's another way of saying those that's been born of the Spirit of God. Look down at verse 15. For you've not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. When that Spirit came in, He made you to see God's not your enemy anymore. You've been reconciled to God. He's justified you. And He made you to see He's your Father. God in heaven is my Father. So that by that Spirit we cry out, Abba, Father. How do we know that? Verse 16, because the Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we're the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with Him. Now, if we make a claim that we are, and then we go on joining with all whatever and religion that renounces all this that He's done, we're liars. We ain't fooling nobody but ourselves. But if we suffer with Him and confess Him and suffer with Him, if not, if we don't and we won't confess Him before men, He won't confess us before His Father. But if we suffer with Him, we'll be glorified together when He's glorified. We'll be glorified with Him together, us together with Him when He's glorified before everybody. All right, look down at Romans 8:26. By Christ's life, through the Holy Spirit, He saves us from our infirmities. By His life, He sent forth the Spirit into our hearts. God the Father did it. Christ the Son did it. The Spirit of God enters in, and He saves us from our own infirmities, even after we get this salvation. We got a lot of salvation that we got to be saved. We got a lot to be saved from. And so first thing is all the infirmities in this body of death. You see, the biggest portion of the cursed ground and the biggest portion of thorns and briars and everything that we got to contend with in this life is not even outside of this body right here. It's right here. So He's likewise, just like the Spirit came in the first place and He saved us by His life by giving us that Spirit to see that we're saved from wrath, likewise, the Spirit also helped with our infirmities. For we don't even know how to pray as we ought to pray. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And He that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because He maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. Yeah, I'm going to put that in the simplest terms I can. Christ is a friend in glory that knows you, believer, better than you know yourself. Scripture says He puts our tears in a bottle. And He sends forth His Spirit, and He'll draw from us prayers that can't even be uttered. and he makes intercession for us with God. He's doing everything. I talked to a brother the other day. His son was in a car accident, and for a week they did surgery after surgery, starting with his brain, surgery after surgery, and every time they do a surgery, they find some new thing wrong with him, some new bone broken, or some part of his colon needed to be taken out, or what, just different things over and over. And I was talking to my friend, and he said, Clay, I can't even pray. He said, what I normally would say is prayer. He said, but I've just been praying. He said, I've just been all the time. He said, I'm just crying. And he said, and the amazing thing is, he said, God's just comforting my heart. He said, I can't tell you how comforting it's been. And he said, I hadn't even uttered a word. I tried to, and he said, I can't even do it. That's what we're talking about here. That's what we're talking about here. He saves us from ourselves when we can't even speak. And then by Christ's life, we're preserved because he works everything together for us in heaven and in earth. Look at verse 28. Romans 8:28. We know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. You see, he did all that by his death. Now he's doing all this by his life. Why? Because God purposed for him to be the firstborn among many brethren. God entrusted his whole house to him. And he's going to see to it that everything's done for his Father. For whom the Father foreknew, he predestinated to be conformed to the image of his Son, that his Son might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. And whom he called, them he also justified. And whom he justified, them he also glorified. What are we going to say to that? If God's for us, nobody can be against us. You see, if he did all that for us when we were dead and ungodly and enemies to him, now that we are a friend of God, who can be against us? We're going to be saved by the life of Christ. Look at by his life. This is what he does too. He saves us by giving us all things spiritual and temporal that's needed for our salvation. Look at verse 32. He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all. How shall he not with him also freely give us all things? God gives it to us. He gave his son to us. And now his son is risen with him. One, they're one. They're together with the glory they had before the world began. And they're together giving us all things that we need in this life. He saves us. He's given us all things spiritual we need. Continues to do that. And he gives us all things temporal we need. That we need. How else does he save us by his life? Nobody's going to be able to charge us with anything. Verse 33, who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It's God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It's Christ that died, yea, rather that's risen again. You see, this is all by his risen life. He who's at the right hand of God to make intercession for us. That means no accusation of Satan, no curse or condemnation of the law, not your guilty conscience. Nothing is going to be able to condemn you. Nothing can put a charge against you. Well, what else do we need to be saved from? He's going to save us by his life from anything and everything in this world, in heaven and earth and hell, that would separate us from him. Look at verse 35. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for thy sake, we're killed all the day long. We're as counted as sheep for the slaughter. But no, in all these things, in all these tribulations and trials and distresses and persecutions and all these things, we're more than conquerors through him that loved us. When did he love us? When we were enemies. When we were sinners. When we were without strength. He did all that. Do you feel like you're without strength now? You feel like there's absolutely no way you can do anything to deliver yourself out of this trial, out of this distress, out of this persecution, out of this famine, out of this peril, out of this sword, out of this nakedness, whatever it is that's up you under. You think you got no strength to deliver you out of it. Maybe you're right where that was given to you to bring you there. Because he's showing us, you were without strength when I did all that for you when you were my enemy. Now you're without strength too, but I'm going to do everything for you by my life. I'm going to keep you. Look, verse 38, for I'm persuaded, Paul said, By how? By His life working in Paul. By Him being reconciled in his heart, made new. That's what the persuasion of God's grace does. It makes us persuaded. Persuaded of what? That neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Do you see that? All right, now let's go back to our text, and I want to show you one more thing. And I just want to close with this. The purpose for every trial is to teach us these very things right here. Let me show you that. Back in verse 2, Romans 5, verse 2. When we've been justified by faith, we have peace with God. We enter into all this. We have access to grace. Verse 2 at the end, it says, we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. The believer, all of us, this is what we're rejoicing in. We joy in hope that one of these days, in God's time, we're going to be with God in heaven's glory, with Him, see His glory that He had with the Father from the beginning. We're going to see His glory and be with Him in that glory. We have a hope in that. We joy in that hope. That's our hope. Well, look at the next word. Verse 3, and not only so. That's not the only thing we joy in. What else do we joy in? We joy in tribulations. Wait a minute, preacher, now. I ain't never had a trial come on me that made me jump up down and say, man, I'm glad this is happening. We don't at the time. But what happens through that? That tribulation works patience. God, when God puts us in a trial, He just makes us wait. He's going to make us wait. He's going to teach us patience to wait on Him so that patience will have its perfect work. What's that perfect work? Verse 4, we learn by experience that God has done all that for us when we're enemies, and He's going to do it now for us by His life. Now that He's saved, He's saving us still. We learn that by experience, this thing we've been looking at. And when that happens, you know what happens? And experience makes more of that hope. You know why? Because hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. We have the assurance all the more. We glory and rejoice more and more in that hope. We're just a little more sure of it, that I know I'm going to be with Him in glory. Because He's done all this for me by His death, He's going to do all this for me by His life. I see it a little bit more, a little more clearly now. And then all that, we have all that love bubbling over in our hearts, and you know what that's tended to? This is where it all began with God, and you know where all that, you know what it all has its end for? Look down at verse 11. And not only so, we not only rejoice in that hope, we not only rejoice in that trial, when it's over, we think, oh, you know who else we rejoice in? We rejoice in God Himself. Through who? Not only so, we joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement, reconciliation. We know I am at one with God. He's at one with me. Nothing's going to be able to separate us. Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord. That's where we're brought every time, over and over and over. Amen.